Tom and Leah are the Watchers.
I've got an idea for a podcast, actually.
What is it?
A podcast full of burps.
What are you going to call it?
Or just bodily noises. Bodily noises. Mouth farts.
Mouth farts for your ears.
Assault the senses.
But this one is not about mouth farts for your ears.
No.
Tom, as you know, we get sidetracked during the Oz Walking Dead podcast.
Regularly.
All the time. And Ash frowns at us and says, stop it.
I try to.
Have you had more Botox?
I've had needles in my forehead.
How recently?
Oh, very recent. And there was a lot of them. I'm so angry right now. Watch what happens.
You know, most people just shoot up between their toes.
There's one eyebrow moving a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
They missed a little. Crinkles or wrinkles or anything.
Smooth as a baby's bum. Mm. Although I can do this.
Look surprised a lot of the time.
Yeah.
A little bit like James Matheson. Mm. He's always very surprised. Mm.
You kind of reminded me of Will from Will and Grace in that episode where he got Botox.
Yeah. Oh, there's an episode of that, isn't there? Another good show. There's an episode of Will getting Botox.
See, this, I've gotten sidetracked already. That we've gotten sidetracked in the intro to the Sidetrack podcast. This podcast is called We Are the Watchers because we watch a lot of stuff.
We do.
We read a lot of stuff. We play a lot of games, all that sort of thing. And we can't all fit it into when Ash allows us to get sidetracked in the Oz Walking Dead podcast. So we thought, why don't we just do one where we talk about everything we want to talk about?
Do a podcast and getting sidetracked, and then we're actually getting sidetracked and being sidetracked.
Therefore, I think we're doing the right job.
We're breaking through the layers here, people.
Yeah,
this is like Inception.
It is. I'm starting to freak out a little bit.
Inception, as soon as I saw Inception, was one of those movies that I thought, I'd enjoy watching that again if I hadn't seen it the first time.
Sure.
I don't think I'd enjoy it the second.
I think they overused the tuba in the soundtrack.
You really just want to make noises with your mouth today, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Hot take. I don't particularly like Inception. Didn't really love it the first time I saw it. And people were like, what's wrong with you? Sorry.
Didn't like Interstellar either.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't like Interstellar?
I didn't mind Interstellar.
I didn't dislike it, but I don't know. It got a lot of... I personally feel it got more love than it deserved, yeah.
Let's just go back to Inception for a second, and then we'll get to Interstellar in a bit, if you don't mind me just...
Hey, it's a sidetracking podcast, right?
Okay. I watched Inception twice.
Yep.
For Inception, the first time I saw that, I was quite... How would you say? I was enjoying a packet of Tim Tams at the time.
Okay.
There's some shows that you shouldn't watch in that particular state.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of them. And then I watched it, when I wasn't eating a packet of Tim Tams.
And what did you think the second time?
Heavy and way too much tuba.
Interstellar, though, was very long. I watched it. I think I just streamed it. I think it was sort of a Netflix sort of moment. Mm. And I'd heard that it was underwhelming. So when I watched it, I went in with that frame of mind, like, yeah, whatever. I quite enjoyed it, actually.
I loved it.
What about the soundtrack? Because people love the soundtrack.
I didn't really pick up on the soundtrack that much.
Have a listen.
Matt McConaughey was absolutely amazing. That robot, that walking ATM. Jesus Christ. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Of all the droids that you would want in your life, it would be him, the way he moved. Mm. But it was a bit of a tearjerker as well at the end when he was actually caught in the time-space continuum and freaking out. I had a tear coming down my eye.
Do you think George Lucas also had a tear coming down his eye thinking about, damn it, why did I not think about that robot?
Exactly. I think he was.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, speaking of Star Wars, did you guys hear about the bad vibes coming off Battlefront 2? EA's new.
Don't ruin it for me. Oh, really?
Microtransactions, bro.
Oh, no.
Yeah, pay to play.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Luke and Darth were put behind a paywall, so you could either grind out
literally 40 hours. Yeah, 40 hours.
If you put in 40 hours of gameplay, then you might be able to unlock them, or you could pay $12.99 and unlock each one.
Now, this all came to light before the game was actually released, right?
Yeah.
So Disney had a little meeting with EA, like the night before, something like that, and said, dude, you can't do this. So they took off a lot of the micro... Well, all of them? All of the microtransactions?
No, not all of them.
Just some of them, but only for the time being. But I don't know how the game plays. I haven't got it yet. I don't know if I will. It's like a bad taste in my mouth. I really want to enjoy Star Wars. I want to be in the universe.
But your nickname's Thrifty Thelma.
I know, right?
See, as a kid, I can imagine you really want to be Darth or Luke or someone like that. And $13, that's a fair bit of money to have to go and ask mum or dad. It's probably a couple of weeks, you know.
Pocket money.
Pocket money for a few kids. If you're an adult and you're not that thrifty...
Mm-hmm.
It's not a deal breaker for me. It'd leave a bad taste in my mouth. It'd piss me off a little bit.
If you'd paid $80
for the game,
to buy a game that had those two characters on the cover of the box art.
True. It's raw.
I know that they've got the single player in there. There's a campaign, so there's an actual storyline, and it's from a perspective of someone who is in the actual Empire.
Mm-hmm.
A character. I don't know too much about it.
I'm not going to get it. I didn't get the first one. I'm not big on multiplayer games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like a good story.
Battlefront 1. Excuse me for a second.
I got the most recent COD, like COD World War 2, mm-hmm. and the campaign of that was fantastic.
Mm.
It's one of the hardest games I've played in a long time. Like, I'm not kidding. You will die over and over and over and over.
Seriously?
Yep. There's no regenerating health bar.
Okay, because that's so unlike most, well, not just Call of Duty games, but all games.
Yep.
If you hang off in a corner for a little bit, your health regenerates and you're good to go again.
None of that.
Seriously, no. That sounds hard.
There's health packs scattered, but then you don't get tons of them, and there's one member of your team that you can request a health pack from about every 2 minutes.
2 minutes is a long time in that sort of game.
So there are times when you just bunker down and wait for his... thing to recharge so you can get another one, top up a bit and hope for the best, and then you run around the corner and get mowed down with two bullets.
Now, I know that Tom is a Star Wars fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's chosen Call of Duty World War II over Battlefront 2.
Mm.
And Battlefront 2 has Bosk as a playable character.
Oh.
The reptilian bounty hunter.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Even that's not enough of a draw for me because I don't know what the campaign's like. The first game didn't have a campaign, so I didn't ever bother playing it.
Mm.
And I don't have a ton of interest in playing this one if it's going to be like... The COD campaign I enjoyed because it was so hard. And if I'd been playing properly, I probably could have gotten through it in 4 or 5 hours, but I spread it out over a course of best part of a week, playing an hour a night.
Because you're a normal
person. That's right. I just don't have... much interest in this. I want them to go back to make it, like, I know LucasArts won't make them anymore, but I want them to go back to the single player games because they were so good at them.
Mm-hmm.
Or even the MMORPGs, like your Knights of the Old Republic and that sort of stuff, like classic Star Wars games.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Rogue Squadron?
Yeah, Rogue Squadron.
X-Wing.
Was amazing. That was on Nintendo 64, yeah? Yeah. There was a Star Wars game that had Get Yourself Some Bacta, Soldier. What was that? That was... Was it
Dark Forces? Dark Forces were the ones where you were... it was basically the plot of Rogue Squadron.
It was released just after Clone Wars, I think.
Oh, was it where you were the training Sith? Was it that one?
No, you were clones. You were stormtroopers.
Okay,
and they all had Kiwi accents.
That's amazing.
Game that I am playing and can recommend at the moment is the new Lego Marvel Superheroes 2. If you've played a Lego game before, you know exactly what this game is about. But it's got some really good puzzles, a huge roster of characters, and this one is about there's a time traveling villain named Kang, and he's stolen some of the most important cities across time and space and smooshed them all into a giant city called Chronopolis. So it's a massive open world game where in the space of 3 minutes, you can go from ancient Egypt through the Wild West into, you know, Marvel's New York City 2099.
Is it the kind of game that kids could play, or is it the kind of game that you would give your kid a controller that doesn't work and then you pretend that they're playing but it's really you?
Well, as long as you're playing player one and you can direct where the camera's going and stuff, they can happily play player two.
Okay, cool.
Remind me never to get you to babysit.
That's a trick my friend does.
Yeah.
It's a trick that he does. Mm. Yeah. He just has an old controller, gives it to his son, and they're playing.
Yeah, how old's his son?
Really playing.
16.
Yeah, that's right, 16 at the moment.
You're doing well, boy. You're doing well.
There's a game that I've been playing recently because it was free on PlayStation. I reckon Ash would love it.
What is it, Thrifty Thelma?
It's Fortnite.
Ah, sure.
Fortnite. This game, basically, you're in a flying... Stick with it, okay? You're a flying bus. You go over an island and you drop out of it, parachute down.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's basically... Battle Royale, last man standing.
Oh.
You have no weapons. You have to find weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you've got better weapons or you can see the person before they see you, and you've got to either camp it out or run around and kill people.
So there's other people on this island?
There's 100.
Oh, and you need to take out 100 people.
Well, they usually end up taking themselves out.
How long have you got to do it? 2 weeks?
It actually doesn't take that long. I'd say a game would be done in about 10 minutes.
And it's this multiplayer thing online?
Yeah. They're all normal people.
All right, okay.
I reckon you'd like it.
Yeah.
I don't think you would see him for a week.
No, it's quite frantic.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like Harrison Ford?
Yeah. And Sting getting tantric.
Can you imagine Harrison Ford getting tantric? By the way, did you see Harrison Ford helped out, I think it was a woman who was involved in a car crash and sort of went down.
Fisher.
That's right, an embankment. And he was one of the people who came up and heroically helped her.
Oh, how about that?
Only recently.
He didn't land his plane or crash
her. No, that was a different time.
Uh-huh.
That's a completely different time.
Hmm. Hi, I'm the voiceover guy and I've got no pants on.
I've been reading... Okay, this is a question.
Hmm.
Is listening to an audiobook, can you count that as reading the book? Okay, good. Then I've been reading Dune.
Nice.
I've finally gotten around to it. Have you ever read...
I have.
And how many of the books are there?
I don't remember. Look, I read it when I was about 12 or 13, and I just read the one. It was my gateway into like Stephen King.
Yeah, right.
So I went way more into the Stephen King horror side than I did the sci-fi.
Are you a reader, Ash?
I think the last book I read was Digger Helps Out.
Okay, great.
In kindergarten.
So maybe you should start doing audiobooks.
No, I do read. I don't really do fiction that well.
Are you a self-help book person?
Yeah. As you can see by my collection over there.
Eric Clapton, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Star Wars and Richard Glover.
George Clooney's haircut, another cries for help. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
Reader, I like New Scientist magazine, National Geographic.
No, that's cool. I read a lot of scientific books as well. I really enjoy paleontological books about the evolution of our understanding around dinosaurs and what came before and all this sort of stuff.
Mm.
I also like a lot of physics books.
I strictly read fiction.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm just going to leave my phone down there on the floor for a second.
Okay.
Yeah, strictly, only fiction. Every now and then maybe a biography, but I like stories.
Mm.
I get most of my fiction from comics.
Fair enough.
Like, there's a definite split for me. If I'm reading words, then I like it to be a bit more non-fiction, generally. And if it's combining with images, then it's going to be fiction because there's not too many historically accurate comics and stuff. The fiction book I reread The Stand every year, and that's the proper... unabridged 1400 something pages version, Stephen King. It's, you know, it's the American Lord of the Rings.
Well, Leah and I have been saying this for some time, Tom, that you need to jump on to probably one of the best fiction television shows around at the moment. We're not alone when we say this, that Stranger Things is fucking awesome.
I'm so surprised you haven't.
I have full intention of getting to it, but like Punisher dropped on Friday last week and I still haven't watched the first episode. I've just got so much that I'm working through at the moment.
All right. Well, without any spoilers, and just in case you're listening to this and you haven't seen Stranger Things, Leah and I will have a quick ambiguous chat about it.
Can we have a non-spoiler spoiler chat?
Absolutely. I'm going to point out, if you don't mind, the first thing that catches me about this show, one things that I love is the fucking soundtrack.
Oh, man. The soundtrack's amazing.
It is awesome. It has got such an 80s vibe to it. On top of that, the whole way the show's been set up, it is so 80s. Winona Ryder, this is the second coming.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. She's just amazing in it.
Hasn't it got Sean Astin and Matthew Modine and all these other people that were big in the 80s too?
A whole heap of amazing people in it.
And Paul Reiser from Mad About You.
Took me a while to realise that was him.
Yeah. And I used to love that show.
Same. I loved Mad About You.
But you can tell that the show's obviously doing really well because they're getting a lot of these people coming and joining the cast now. What is it about the show that appeals to you? What do you like about it?
The storyline's good. You've also got that, I think, the 80s nostalgia. There's something about it. Like you said, they've done it right. It sucks you in. It's almost like it's a character in itself.
Yeah, very.
It really is.
Yeah, well put. Yeah.
And the fact that people who are not necessarily or ever been into that genre, you know, that sort of what's going on, scary, otherworldly kind of thing, are watching it and getting into it as well, that is the sign of a good show.
What is it about the 80s, do you think, that has that allows us to have that vibe and to get so involved in it? It's because that we're just sort of teetering on the edge of technology. It was still quite innocent times. Mm. It was still quite wholesome times.
I'd say it's because that's when pop culture became mass culture. Before that, pop culture had been part of a...
quite niche.
Yeah, it had been a subgenre in itself and people were into other things, but that was when, you know...
It was okay to love Pac-Man.
Well, you had Star Wars in 77, you had Jaws just before that. That was when the big blockbuster happened and then all of a sudden summer became a real thing. It was also at the same time when teenagers were really a ubiquitous thing. Before that, it had just... that there hadn't really been a market that had been catered to and that's, you know, things produced specifically for them. And there was such a rich, you know, the toys, the TV shows, there were all this stuff that was...
It all sort of tied in, didn't it? So everybody felt like they were a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not only nostalgia, because a lot of people who didn't grow up in the 80s, who missed the 80s completely, are obsessed with the 80s. Mm. So, yeah, I think it's got something to do with that. And you said innocent, Ash, but there was also that underlying... like almost like a hum in the background of Cold War, we could all be nuked out any second now. So there's that tiny little threat there, which obviously I think of it as tiny because we know it didn't happen. Mm. But at the time, it was when you had the other world, the Soviets behind that Iron Curtain. Mm. It was all very exciting. There was a lot of stories going on within the real world that then they were incorporating into all the TV shows and movies that we love and are so iconic and huge now. Still.
Yeah, there were Stranger Things going on. But to give a sort of roundabout sort of idea for the show, we're living in the real world. However, there's another world which we can fall in and out of a little
dangerous.
Bit. I liken it to Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes!
Not with the fear, with the horror, with the blood, but more like that we can slip in and out of another reality at any given point in time. And this is all based around one particular character who's been in this world and one character who may have been born in this world, their friends.
It's all really weird and strange and it's called Stranger Things and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love it.
We
and
love it.
We'll follow up with Tom's review.
Eventually.
I think that's a very good way of putting it.
Because he'll get through the two seasons in a few days.
Yeah. I reckon one of those things that I know if I dedicated some time to it, then I could get through it. But, you know...
Oh, I know what you mean.
Here's my prediction. You're going to watch the first episode and then you're going to come banging on our door saying, oh, my God, have you seen Stranger Things?
Just watch one and then I'll watch the rest and I'll text you and I'll be like, yeah, I watched all of it in the last 12 hours or something.
And then
it'll do that thumbs up emoji.
I do like a thumbs up emoji.
Otherwise, we're going to be doing a live podcast of Tom watching Stranger Things Clockwork Orange style with his eyes held open with paper clips.
But I will say this in my defense. Yes, I haven't seen Stranger Things, but I know enough people who have that I'm aware of the Upside Down and all these elements.
You know the references.
So I know the references. But it's my job to watch the stuff that no one else is watching.
Which is what we'll be asking him about every single week. Because, Ash, we just know in catching up with Tom all the time, he's always watched a brand new show.
Yeah, he's a wealth of knowledge.
New show I watched this week is called Animal Cribs. Can you guess what it's about?
Is it about animals that have cribs?
It's about a guy that goes and does home renovations for people who are really into their pets and makes special dedicated areas. So there's one, it was one episode, it was a guy who converted his back room and some of the outdoor area into a very dog-friendly sort of setup with levers and things that they can put their paws on that will deliver them food and this sort of stuff. But the one I really enjoyed last year, and a bit of background, my lifelong goal is to build a zoo. it was about a family who had 28 different species that they'd taken in from rescue homes. So it was all sorts of lizards and turtles and chinchillas and sugar gliders and all this sort of stuff. Well, this guy had his basement converted into a small indoor zoo plus band practice room. And it was amazing. It was all done with acrylic walls and you know, it looked like a zoo exhibit. And then, you know, they'd put in a tiki bar as well. And underneath the tiki bar, you could press a button and it swung out and there was the drum kit. And
and a sloth on the bass.
Was it... Would the animals and the band room, were they in together? Was it...
Yeah.
So you could, you'd have a jam while the animals...
Yeah. Danced?
Are there.
Well, they did their thing.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was it called again?
Animal Cribs. So it's not one that I expect many people will take up on, but I'm going to dip my toe in again. Because I will watch a lot of that. I watch that insane Coaster Wars, extreme water parks. I'm watching one at the moment called Extreme Hotels, which is all about the world's most unusual hotels. It's one that was all around water-based hotels.
Sort of theme stuff.
Yeah.
Japan would have a few of those, I reckon. There's another interesting thing.
I haven't watched the latest episode. I haven't watched yet. Is about the four most haunted hotels in the world.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. Yeah. Can you watch that and we can talk about it in the next one?
Of course. But that's what I mean. That's my role here.
It's his job.
I love that you guys love Stranger Things, and I'm happy to let other people love something that's great in pop culture, and I will get to it eventually.
Yeah.
But I want to go sniffing for them truffles.
All right. So we've all got our own agendas on this in this podcast. Yours is to show off your niche-ness.
Sniff truffles.
Ash's is to make bodily function sounds. And mine is to make Ash get a PS4 so that I can play multiplayer with him.
Oh, bring it on. I think it's going to be an Xbox 4K. I'm itching for the 4K.
Look,
but you're on PS4, yeah?
We can sort something out. We'll sort it out.
Might have to get both.
Come on, you and me against the world, right?
Sony and Microsoft, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast. Great opportunity here for you right now.
Speaking of, if you want to get in touch or whatever, we do have a Facebook page.
Oh, my goodness.
We are the Watchers. Just type it into that handy little search bar up the top. You'll find it.
Is there a photo of us? People get to see what we look like.
It's a photo of eyeballs at the moment, but we will progressively post more and more pictures.
We'll reveal a different body part each week.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Niche.
This is my thorax.
First one I'm going to come out with is my coccyx.
Oh.
Mm.
Is it broken?
No, a little bit bruised.
Intact coccyx.
Oh, say that again.
Intact coccyx. I'm a little bit Deborah Hutton there, sorry.
You should stand up so everyone can see your erect coccyx.
Now we're talking.
I just wanted to hang shit on Justice League for a minute.
Oh, Justice League! Now, Ash and I have not seen it because...
you decided to save money and made a good decision.
Well, I heard from a friend who got a free ticket that they got a free ticket to actually go and see it and they wanted a refund.
I just went for the pure opportunity to see a train wreck. It wasn't nearly as bad as I was expecting because I saw Batman vs. Superman in cinemas and they stopped fighting because they both realized their mum was Martha.
Oh, goodness.
I don't give a shit. Spoiler warning or not. I'm literally not kidding. The reason they stopped fighting is because they both realized their mums are called Martha.
That's ridiculous. Not the,
same mum.
No, just not the same mum. They just both were the name Martha.
Where's the letdown with the movie? Is it in the writing? Is it?
Oh, look, backstory on it. The director, Zack Snyder, unfortunate family situation, had to step away 3/4 of the film being done. So Joss Whedon stepped in to complete it and reshot what looks at least 20% of the film, and their tones are wildly different.
Mm-hmm.
To give you context, Joss Whedon is the guy that did Avengers 1 and 2, bright, happy, colourful. Zack Snyder's the guy that likes to jack off to sepia tones.
So it was super obvious.
Yeah, there was some real mismatch parts. The other bit that was fucking hilarious is Henry Cavill, the guy that plays Superman. And this is, if you know anything about comic books, at the end of Batman vs. Superman, Superman died. But if you know anything about comic books, you know that comic book deaths are not a thing. Like, people come back. And they spent the first two Superman movies painting him as Jesus, so obviously he was going to come back. Henry Cavill, the guy that plays him, at the same time of filming, was doing... He's the villain in Mission Impossible 6.
Oh, yeah.
And has a massive porn star moustache in that. And in one of the best petty moves I can ever recall, Warner Brothers, whoever was producing the Mission Impossible film refused to let him shave the moustache to go back and do the reshoots. So Warner Brothers had to spend $25 million digitally erasing this moustache from every shot. And I'm not kidding. He looks like when Shrek turns human. It's really bad CGI. And the reason you have Henry Cavill is because he has that amazing jawline with the dimple and the chin.
Yeah.
It looks, and they've just digitally softened it so much that, it's awful.
Oh, dear.
I'm almost tempted to go and watch a movie just for that, but I probably won't. I'll probably just look at bits on YouTube.
They basically
sounds like a total train wreck.
They turned Batman into Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon. He's I'm too old for this shit. Which he clearly is.
Ben Affleck. But it is unfortunate because it is...
I wanted to like it.
Maybe a few, maybe 3 weeks after Thor, which everybody loved.
Yep. Mm. Look, this film didn't crack $100 million in its opening weekend in the States, which was something like $16 million less than Batman vs. Superman. Mm. And this was meant to be DC's Avengers.
Mm.
They just have to give up the ghost and admit that the DC universe...
doesn't work.
Trying to do it the way Marvel did doesn't work.
They should just be single character movies.
Yeah, maybe back to the standalones.
Maybe just with a cameo here and there with another character. But
you can link them up. They can have appearances and stuff, but they're just the world building isn't working for them.
Mm.
But as I said, the film was better than I expected because my expectations were rock bottom.
Yeah.
So I walked out going, that was fine.
It's always a good approach.
Yeah. So I'd give it... at best, a 5 out of 10.
That's more than I expected.
Yeah, I was expecting you to say way lower, but okay.
This is putting it in comparison to others.
Mm.
So if you take out the others, then it'd be maybe a 3, maybe a 4.
Okay.
So maybe what they should just do is just do Wonder Woman movies for a little bit now, because that went well.
If they're having a female director... like, it was the Amazons in this film were wearing far sexier costumes than the Wonder Woman movie.
Okay.
And I'm not kidding when I say there were at least 8 shots of Gal Gadot from behind standing up or something in the Wonder Woman skirt so you'd get a hint of butt cheek. Like, the male gaze was all over this film.
Yeah, right.
And it just really showed of how it happens when you have a female director directing a feminist icon compared to putting her in a teen film. There were elements that worked. Ezra Miller as The Flash was great. He was really funny. He was basically Spider-Man.
Yeah, right.
Which I'm always very on board with. The guy playing Cyborg didn't have tons to do, but what he did do was pretty good.
What about Jason Momoa?
He was obviously having fun.
And that's all you have to say.
Well done to him for having that fun.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, so I don't think I'm going to bother with that one then.
I don't think so either.
Just wait for Star Wars.
Yeah.
This is the thing. This film, Thor, has done so well that they weren't even sure whether Justice League would beat Thor this weekend.
Mm.
And they haven't put it out at a great time for DC. Like, their big successes are always in the middle of summer or around Easter weekend or something where they get that extra day of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go for that. And they've sandwiched it between Thor, which did great, and Star Wars, which is going to do great.
And Deadpool too.
Did you see that first? Oh, I showed you that first trailer, didn't I? Did you see the first trailer?
I haven't seen the first trailer.
It's just Deadpool dressed as Bob Ross painting.
I would watch.
It's really strong.
Funny. They've already
kicked off their great marketing campaign. Their first reveal of the poster for the film was in something like Home Renovation Monthly. Like, I'm not kidding. Deadpool got to take over the cover. It's a real magazine, and they had a cover story about Deadpool.
That's insane. Uh-huh. Someone has to be a fan there at the magazine.
Oh. We'll keep you updated on Deadpool Watch.
Yes.
Because it was the best marketing campaign for a film I've ever seen.
How long have we got until Star Wars? It's not that long, is it?
December 15th, I believe.
Excellent.
So less than a month 14th. Away. Less than a month away.
Like three weeks.
Oh my God. I'm
so excited. Can't wait for Kylo's gazes. And
well, you got a thing for Kylo, have you?
No, I actually like Adam Driver. Ryder? I like Adam from Girls.
What is he? Is he a driver or a rider?
Boo, Girls. Fuck you, Lena Dunham. I'll go on record as saying, fuck you, Lena Dunham.
So aggressive.
Oh, she's bullshit.
A bit of raw nerve here.
Mm.
Might be time to wrap up the podcast.
I agree. Tom, sit down. Oh, he already is. Ash, hold him down. We're going to get out of here. Goodbye, Ash.
Hey, bye-bye.
And goodbye, Tom.
TTFN. Ta-ta for now.